Thank you, Pam. Each of us has been given gifts, and sometimes we don't even recognize what those gifts might be. Maybe some of you have heard the story about stone soup. Have you ever heard that story? Has anybody not heard that story? Everybody's heard it? Oh, some of you haven't. All right. So those of you who've heard it, you can go out in the parking lot if you want, talk to one another, because I'm going to tell it. Because it is a good analogy. It's not a perfect analogy for this, but it's a good analogy. Once upon a time, there was a town that had fallen on hard times, and everybody was struggling in that town. And sometimes in the early season of hard times, you kind of hold on to what you got and you hoard it. Have you ever seen, like, this isn't in the story, so you can tell people that somehow the preacher found out a way to combine preppers with the story of stone soup. Which maybe's never been done before, but a prepper is someone who's planning for the end of the world. And so they've got their bug out bag, which they're used to get out of town fast in case everything goes south in a hurry. And they've got oftentimes hordes of emergency supplies, like in a bomb shelter or something like that, where if the whole world sort of falls apart, they're going to have theirs, and at least they'll be able to take care of their own. So it kind of gotten that way in this little town. And along came these folks. Now, this is old-timey town when there were still town squares and everybody went by the town square. Along came these two fellas that didn't have two nickels to rub together. They were really broke, and they'd been wandering around, and they were hungry. All they had between them was a pot. That's it, just a big pot. Well, they came down, and they were pretty smart, and they came down in the middle of town, and they set up their little camp, and they put their pot there on a little fire that they built with some sticks, and they added some water from the river, and people were curious why they were just camped out in the middle of town with the empty pot. And when the people came up and said, "What's that you're cooking?" They said, "We're making stone soup." And they had a rock that they'd picked up just out of town, and it was sitting right in the middle. And the person said, "Stone soup? I don't believe I've ever had that. Is it ready to eat? Could I taste it?" They said, "Well, it's almost ready to eat. If we only had a carrot, that would make it taste so good." Well, the person said, "Well, I don't have much, but I've got a carrot." So they scurried on off, and they brought back the one carrot they had in their house. Well, then another passerby came, and they said, "What y'all cooking in there? It smells a little bit like carrots." They said, "No, this is stone soup." And they said, "It's almost ready, but if we only had a potato, it would be just one potato is all we need." "Well, I've got one potato. I don't have much, but I've got one potato, and it sure does sound good, and I'd like to try that stone soup." So they ran off and got their potato. And you can see where this goes. Just went and went. Everybody in the town ended up coming by, and soon they had this great big vegetable soup, and it was delicious. It was stone soup. So that's an analogy, right, of how we might not think we have much, and we're not sure just if we need to share it or not. But when we give and we're generous with the little that we do have, that then everyone can taste of the bounty. Well, it's not a perfect analogy for this lesson of these gifts of the Spirit, but you can see how it might be a little bit related. The way God has given us all gifts, not just carrot and potato, but gifts of wisdom and knowledge, like Miss Pam was talking about, and ways that we can work together and share those things, and then we can celebrate God's abundance. It's one of the ways that God provides for us. And that really focuses in, that story focuses on the gift of generosity and sharing, which is one of many gifts, maybe also wisdom. The people that were traveling into town had the mind to think up that scheme. Some of the ways that story gets told, those folks are sort of connivers and manipulators, and they're taking advantage of people. But I like the way this story is told, where it just sort of, it ends up being something that everyone can participate in. I heard, certainly we teach in our public schools, and it's reinforced time and again, the uniqueness of every child, as you were talking about, that some are good in sports, and some are good in math, some are good in English. I was good in recess and lunch. But when we share those gifts, it's getting there to what Paul is talking about. It's not quite there. I caught an interview this last week with Greg Norman, the golfer, a snippet of an interview with him. And he said in that little interview that sometime he said he never set out to be the best golfer in the world. He just set out to be the best golfer he could be. And the world just kind of gave him that credit by accident. He ended up being really good at it. Well, that's not quite what Paul is talking about, but it sort of gets at it. Because Greg not just had the gift of knowing how to hold his left arm straight and follow through and shift his weight and all that, but he had to practice a lot. He had to practice that gift that he'd been given in order to use that gift and be the best that he could be. There's countless examples of that, which start to get at what Paul was talking about, but not quite there. Because Paul's not writing about golfing or basketball. Paul is talking about spiritual gifts. So what's the difference between spiritual gifts and just talents, like a good golfer, like Greg Norman? Well, there's the gift part. It's not earned, right? A gift is something, when we go to a birthday party, we don't wait and see the test scores of the person that is having the birthday before we decide to give them the present. They don't have to earn the gift. We're just happy they were born. And not one of us here decided to be born. It just kind of happened to us, right? So we are celebrated because we are, because God made us. So there's the gift part of the spiritual gift. And then in the scripture this morning, it says in verse 7, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good. That's why we have spiritual gifts. For the common good. In the world, hold on a second. The common good. Now, what is the common good? Well, maybe it's the good of my family. But I think the common good is generally known to be a little wider than that. Maybe the common good is our congregation, as in the church historian and Doug Robinson, who did all that research, gave us that gift of history to know our history for the common good of our congregation. Well, this, what is the common good, has been a debate for a long, long time, and people like to argue about it. Remember, there was someone that came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, well, you've studied the law. You know what it is. What is it? And the person said, well, that's easy. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And there's another commandment like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And remember the follow-up question? Who is my neighbor? What he's kind of saying is, and exactly what is the common good? How far out goes the circle? And so Jesus then shrewdly and wisely told this story about, well, there was a church, a fella was on his way down the road. He got beat up and robbed. Scary story. He was left for dead on the side of the road. Then there was a church person that came by, but he was busy, so he passed by on the other side. He might get robbed too, he was thinking. Then there's a community leader who passed by and saw the man lying there, but he too had very important things to do and was nervous the robbers might still be around, so he passed by on the other side. But then there was a Samaritan, and when he would have said that, think of the vilest person that you detest the most in this world, stereotype or by personal experience. That's what the Samaritan represented in the story. That person came by, saw him laying down there beat up, put him on his donkey, carried him to a hotel, an inn, gave him enough money to get well, said, I'll repay you the difference, and just took care of his needs. And that's how we got the story of the good Samaritan. And then Jesus said, well, who is the neighbor in that story? He said, well, I guess it's the person that treated him kindly. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. So Jesus answers kind of the who is my neighbor question. What is the common good? How far out do the boundaries go in the common good? By saying, well, the ones, your neighbors. And he answered that question. So I hope we can reflect on that. Well, enter the spiritual gifts. Paul says some are given wisdom, others are given knowledge, others the ability to speak in different tongues, others the ability to interpret those same tongues, others prophecy, the ability to speak the truth of God to another, to others healing, to others miracles. Those gifts, skills, talents, they're given to each of us differently. Each is unique. When they're offered, when they're applied, when they're used or shared for the common good, we unleash God's power. Well, we know this is not a narrative that we hear all the time. Why do you study in school? So you can get good grades, right? Why do you get good grades in school? So you can get into a good college. Why do you do well in college? So you can get a good job. Why do you get a good job? So you can make lots of money. Why do you make lots of money? So you can buy lots of toys. That's right. You make a lot of money so you can buy lots of toys. No. Well, that's kind of what the world says. But that's not really working necessarily for the common good. No, we study in school to discover our gifts. We try to use them to help one another. That's the Christian narrative. For the common good, to love our neighbor, to create conditions that are equally to others' advantage. Tonight, the temperature is supposed to drop into the really cold digits, I believe. Some folks said a text on my phone that a warming center is going to be opened up. Think about all the things that have to go into that warming center. Someone that has wisdom, the best place to put it. Someone that can organize how to coordinate casseroles and people. Someone that is courageous to spend the night. Someone maybe who is patient to deal with someone who might be in crisis. You know, if you're in crisis, you don't feel like just cutting to the point oftentimes. You need to tell somebody about it, right? That's part of healing through crisis. So God needs someone who'll be patient that can listen as a part of the healing and provision for those folks. That's an example outside the church. How many of you came to the love feast here or the Christmas Eve service? Wasn't that beautiful? Oh, it was beautiful, but think of all the dozens and dozens and dozens of people that participated in that. Someone had to order the candles. Someone had to wrap a bunch of people, the United Methodist women, I think, wrap the candles up to make them look so pretty. Someone had to remember to light the candles, you know? Someone had to pick out the music and get the choir ready. Someone had to do all those different things, right? All of those different gifts being used for the common good so that we could experience just a glimpse of the love of God. Just a glimpse. So I wonder, what is your talent? Is it generosity, understanding, kindness, faithfulness, courage, humility? Maybe you're one of those that's been told you're no good your whole life. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, don't remember anything else than what I said. If you've been told you don't got any talent, you're not good enough, you've been told a lie. Because God has given you a gift, many gifts. And you will discover the glory of God when you use those gifts, that gift, for the common good. Whether you're, I don't know, flying 777s across the world, right? Or whether you're dreaming of flying 777s someday. Whether you are being patient and kind and compassionate as you weep in intercessory prayer in your closet somewhere and no one else knows. Or whether you are baking a casserole for the warming center around the corner. When you use your gifts, the gift that God has given you, for the common good, then God is glorified. May we practice using the gifts that God has given us in the service of God. May we recognize those gifts in one another. I was so proud. It was 2 weeks ago. Maybe I've even said this 2 weeks in a row at youth. You were there, Pam. You remember. One of the kids, we asked what their talent was. Have I shared this with you already? In church, have I shared this with you? We asked what their talent was. He says, well, I'm not very good at anything. One of the other youth said, come on. You're one of the kindest people we know. You are kind. That's your gift. Use it. It was beautiful. The youth, they're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today, aren't they? And so are you. Children of God, discover and use the gifts that God has given you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer today, there's a few that I need to mention. A lot of people in town are mourning the passing of Ruffin Woody from the community, passed away. And so please keep that family in your prayers. I have a few that I have, folks from our congregation that have given me permission to share. Gordon Carver, you might not have heard yet. Gordon has contracted a blood infection and has been running a high fever. He is in the hospital at Durham, Duke Regional, and in Durham, and is just, the doctors are working to try and get that fever gone, get that infection eliminated from him. Also, we want to remember Leon Long, who finally gave me permission to share that he had a hernia procedure and is doing better, but is recovering at home and is in good spirits and well taken care of. But Leon looks after so many of us. Maybe you have experienced the kindness and love or an occasional silver dollar that's been pressed into your palm at the door. So please keep him in prayer as he recovers. We also give thanks. Tom Hill Clayton is glad to be home. He broke his hip and was recovering in the hospital for a while and now is back home. Our prayers for Helen Elizabeth Harris. That's the daughter of R.L. Harris, who Harris Hall, the Fellowship Hall, is named after. She is most likely, unless God does something unexpected, most likely in the last days of her life. And so prayers are appreciated for her and for her family. We also want to pray for the family. You don't know this person most likely. Vernon Elmore is a member of McMahon, the church that I came from to be here at Long Memorial. He passed away. And pray for me as well. I'm going to do that funeral later today as we support that family in our Methodist connection. There might be others that you have on your heart, and I would invite you at this time to share any prayers. Just call out those names. Gail, it is great to see you here. Praise God. Gail Fitzgerald, we have been praying for you and praying for you and praying for you and praying for you. And you have surgery next Monday, not tomorrow, but a week. And we are, you've been waiting for that a long time. So we are just covering you in prayer, and we just rejoice to see you here in the congregation with us. Others might have names to call out. At this time, I invite you to do so. Yes. Just as an additional way of offering up our prayers to God, if there's someone that's on your heart and you did not call their name out for whatever reason, just lift up your hand, kind of a way of saying, yes, remember this person too. And within that, this person might be you. And so we just offer all of these prayers up to you, God, at this time, trusting that you have heard our prayers, that you placed those persons on our hearts in the first place. God, fall afresh on us. As we gather in this place, continue to allow your Spirit to fill our very being. As we worship today, we remember our brothers and sisters who are worshiping elsewhere throughout the world. So inspire each of us to work more faithfully for justice and dignity of life everywhere. God, we pray that you would raise our vision above the barriers of color, culture, and creed that separate us. Give us wisdom as we deal with one another. Help us to recognize and respect different ways rather than to judge. In the spirit of Jesus, who came not to be served, but to serve, give us your grace to walk in the world as we reach out our hands with help and open our hearts in love. We ask that you would awaken in us the desire to seek your way of serving you in the world. And now, God, hear the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.